Our topic for today is the catered event. What does the consumer have to worry about? We had a discussion with my daughter, whom Yirtzeh Hashem will be bas mitzvah next summer, whether she should have a party or she could go to Israel for her bas mitzvah. Fortunately for her parents, she chose to go to Israel with one of her parents. But if we were planning to have a party, what are the issues that need to be addressed to ensure a fully kosher party? Many of the items that we're addressing today need to be addressed with the caterer and the place of the event prior to signing a contract. Because once you've already signed the contract, the caterer and the place do not owe you anything. The first step is to choose a location. Is the location going to be an exclusively kosher location? Is it going to be a place that needs to be koshered? Or will it be somewhere in between? A number of questions that need to be addressed. What time of the day will the hall be available? If the venue where the event is taking place needs to be koshered, and the event will be beginning at 5 o'clock in the evening, the mashgichim need to be in the kitchen at least 8 to 10 hours before that in order to kosherize all the equipment. Your question is not only referring to the kitchen, but your question is referring to the hall. What time can the florist come? What time can the band come? What time can the makeup person come? Will you have ample space in the hall? But for our discussion, when will the kitchen be available? In a non-kosher hotel or a non-kosher place, the answer to that question is very complicated. Because a hotel, the morning of the event, couldn't book a job, book a luncheon for 300-400 people, and you're going to have a situation in the hotel, in the kitchen, where they will be doing the kosher event in one bank of ovens, and right next to it, on another bank of ovens and tables, they will be doing the non-kosher event. But we'll get to more of those details later. The next question is, am I allowed to bring my own food in addition? Very often, for family simchos, for family joyous occasions, a family member wants to bake a fancy cake, wants to bring popcorn, wants to put candy on the tables, wants to bring alcoholic drinks. What are the policies of the caterer and the hall in relation to these matters? In order to do that, we go to our next step, which is choosing the caterer. What is our first priority when choosing the caterer? Are we choosing a caterer because of their hashgacha, because of the kashrut symbol verifying the certification of the caterer? Or is your budget your consideration? What is most important to you? Is it cost? Is it quality? Is it ehrlichkeit, which means the honesty? The story of one caterer, for example, who saw that he was running short of food at the smorgasbord, and he had a problem, he didn't know what to do. Through his connections, he was able to call the people who put up the bridge in the area near the event, and he arranged in the middle of the smorgasbord for them to put up the drawbridge to prevent traffic from coming over the bridge. They did it for only 15 minutes. And then he put it down, and by the time everyone came over the bridge, the smorgasbord was over and he had enough food. Are we dealing with such a caterer? Or are we dealing with a person who, if something is not there, they'll be honest enough to tell you? Is our goal to keep up with the Schwartzes? Is our goal to do the next fanciest thing that takes place at the most recent event that we went to? Or is our goal to make a bar or bas mitzvah more about the mitzvah than about the simcha? One has to always remember that the caterer's number one goal, his number two goal, his number three goal, and his number four goal is to satisfy the customer. After those first four items are taken into account, then maybe kashrus, maybe other things will be taken into account. But what is involved in preparing an event? We'll first talk about in a fully kosher place, and then we'll go on to a non-kosher place. In a fully kosher place, one has to know, is there a mashgiach tamidi at the caterer? What does a mashgiach tamidi mean? Mashgiach tamidi means that the mashgiach is there from the beginning of the day until the end of the day. That means that when he opens in the morning and the fires are being turned on, the mashgiach is a person who's in the kitchen is turning on the fires. Not the mashgiach is the manager who is two floors below or above the kitchen and never going into the kitchen other than to get his lunch. In addition, A mashgiach needs to be verifying everything that comes into the place. If the caterer advertises that all that he serves is Pas Yisrael or Chalav Yisrael or any other enhancements to the kosher program, even if something comes with a standard supervision, you get a box of crackers and the caterer advertises that he's Pas Yisrael, the bread was baked by a Jew, and he can't go into a supermarket and buy regular crackers which have an OU Hashgacha on them because he's chosen a higher standard. But even if he has not chosen a higher standard, distributors will often send replacement products. Even though you've been getting oil for the last 6 years, the last 60 years, however often you've been getting the same bottle of oil, if the distributor who's sending you the oil sends you a different case because he ran out of your brand that you've been using for all these years, who's going to be the one to verify that? In fact, beverages, even in an all-kosher place, we're going to go into the hall and they're going to be serving fountain soda or fountain drinks or fountain juices. Who knows where all these juices are coming from? Many companies distribute both types of drinks. Drinks that have a kosher supervision, drinks that have a less than acceptable kosher supervision, and drinks that don't have any kosher supervision at all. And if there's not someone verifying every product that's coming into the hall, then there's a potential for mix-ups. A person can't just release himself from any responsibility by saying, I ordered it from the religious distributor, and if he sent it, it must be kosher. Because the people who are picking the orders in this distributor's place of business are not necessarily religious Jews, and they're going to pick lemonade, they're going to pick soda, they're going to pick everything that needs to be sent from the pallets, and very often they can pick the wrong pallet. Even more than that, one has to be on top of where everything is coming from. If someone is making an event for many people, the caterer may not have enough supplies of equipment in order to satisfy this event. So the caterer might rent dishes. He might try and get more silverware that he hopes to have kosher, have to be kosherized. Therefore, the mashgiach needs to be intimately familiar with what's going on at this event. But that's only talking about a fully kosher place. What about a place that's not fully kosher? The first step is koshering the kitchen. What means koshering the kitchen? You have to kosher stoves, you have to kosher ovens, you have to kosher silverware, you have to kosherize coffee pots, you have to kosherize everything. The china, we understand it cannot be koshered, so the caterer would have to bring his own china. But there are many details involved with koshering a kitchen. In the ideal world, the halacha says that when it comes to koshering with hagala, which means koshering with hot water, one needs to ensure that all the equipment is what's called an eino ben yomo, has not been used for the last 24 hours. Under circumstances where it's not necessarily possible or greatly difficult, we will put in the water ammonia or some other davar hapogim, something that will certainly create a distaste in the water, and that's how the silverware and other metal equipment will be kosherized. One thing that one has to take into account, besides the kashering a ben yomo of something that's been used in the last 24 hours, is the steam system in many of these non-kosher places often has a recirculating steam where the steam from all the equipment in the hotel or in this place of operation will come back and return to where it came from. So all the steam in that place, in that hotel, is now non-kosher. So even if you would be kosherizing with a steam kettle, something that you would verify it was an eino ben yomo, was not used for 24 hours, will still require to use ammonia or some other davar hapogim in order to kosherize. Because when the non-kosher taste comes out, it'll come back in with the non-kosher steam. What other issues are involved? One has to be aware, as an OU policy, we do not allow our caterers to check vegetables at an event. So therefore, one has to be sure, when they're making a menu, to verify how everything is being checked. Is someone checking? Are we allowed to use strawberries? Are the herbs that they may be using from Israel, especially during a sabbatical year, or even not? What type of greens are being used? Lettuce or spinach, etc. What extra cakes? Fancy chocolates and alcohols. This is a very difficult area. Often, we have well-meaning relatives who want to bring a fancy cake, or might even be in the business of making these fancy cakes, who will bring a fancy cake, and the caterer has a policy, no outside food is allowed in the event. but who is going to be the one verifying that which is coming? Fancy chocolates the same way. Alcohols. In a non-kosher place, a hotel or other, the hashgacha, the kosher supervision, has nothing to do with the hotel. The only relationship the hashgacha has is with the caterer. However, when it comes to a hotel, the arrangement for alcohol and beverage is made with the Baal Simcha and the hotel. And therefore, we've had many situations where even after the Mashgiach has checked the bar numerous times, there are still issues with the bar. For example, there's a concept which is foreign to me since I use grape juice for Kiddush, but being in the industry, I understand it a little better. There's a concept known as marrying bottles. What will happen is, in the place where the hotel stores their alcohol and their drinks, they will have one bottle or two bottles of the kosher brand of mix, whether it be wine, whether it be alcohol, whether it be the fruit flavorings that are added to drinks. And what they will do is, when that bottle's empty, they'll go back to their place of storage. They'll pour from the other brand, not kosher bottle, into this bottle that is kosher. They'll say, Rabbi, I have the same, I have, what do you mean? This is the product. Often, they'll be walking with two bottles of what seems to be the same thing, and one is a dark yellow, and one is a very light yellow. I'm saying it's the same product. It's impossible that it's the same product. So if it's at all possible, people should shy away from going to places that are not kosher unless they absolutely have to. In many communities outside the New York area, they actually have separate kosher kitchens in many hotels. And that's something that the community in the New York metropolitan area should strive for, that they should have exclusive kosher kitchens with taking care of any bars or any alcohol that's taken care of, that could obviate a lot of these concerns. But even when we're making an event, you have many family members who are careful in certain ways. You have to ask the questions. What meats is the caterer using? What chicken is the caterer using? What vegetables is the caterer using? I want to conclude this portion of the discussion with a number of items that we've sent and given out to people. A person's at a wedding at a hotel. What does the mashgiach have to watch for? One of the first steps a mashgiach has to do when he's koshering in a hotel is making sure that there's enough equipment, knives and tongs, etc., for all the wait staff. Very often the wait staff is not hired by the caterer, but rather a hotel union staff. And it's very difficult to get them to not do what they're used to doing. Yesterday was a non-kosher party. They know exactly where every piece of equipment is. And they will go and take from where they need if there's not enough. So therefore, a mashgiach has to check all the waiters that they do not have any of their own utensils. Knives. Kashering of knives is very difficult, if not impossible. Therefore, the caterer must send enough knives from his place of business to prevent the chefs from using their own knives. Number three, one of the places where the knives are so important, especially at a smorgasbord, is the carving station, a place where the chefs are cutting the meats and the prime rib and the other items that are on, or perhaps the fish, in which case you have to make sure they have different knives for the meat and the fish. But one has to monitor the carving station to make sure the chefs aren't using their own knives. They might even put inside their jacket a special knife that they can to get the X number of pieces out of a prime rib when they're cutting it. Because they have such a sharp blade and it can cut so thinly, they can get so many more slices. Much of what goes on a smorgasbord is already cooked. And therefore, the concern of bishul akum, food cooked by a non-Jew, may be obviated. However, many of the items that are used, if there's an electric stovetop where they're cooking items, or there are crepe machines and other items, the mashgiach has to be careful to light all of these items. If food that's already cooked is being put on a smorgasbord, the mashgiach doesn't necessarily have to light it, because food that's already cooked is not under the category of items that will be bishul akum if turned on by a non-Jew. However, as a policy, very often to prevent confusion that this is okay and this is not okay, the mashgiach lights all the sternos. But if there's only one mashgiach in a hotel, and the choice is for him to go out and light the sternos over fully cooked food, or stay in the kitchen and stand as a referee between the kosher and the non-kosher, so it's better off for the non-Jew to light the sternos and the mashgiach to prevent the mix-ups in the kitchen. No fish and meat were cooked in an oven simultaneously. We don't allow fish and meat to be prepared together. Even the side dishes should be set aside to make sure there's no meat gravy on them. separate utensils are available for fish use. Often, when they're serving at an event, the fish will be served from the kitchen, whereas the meat dish will be French served, where they'll serve all the meat and with the same tongs and the side dishes, but the fish will have a separate container of the side dishes, which are clean and have no meat residue on them, and those will be prepared at a separate station in the kitchen. All margarine was examined for parva status. One has to be very careful. Margarine and butter look very similar, and unless you're an expert, you're not necessarily going to know the difference. When we're planning an event, the first priority should be to a place that's exclusively kosher. Our priorities need to be that the food that's being eaten at our event is first and foremost, first in our minds, are kosher on all fronts. That's our first priority. We want to have something a little nicer. We want to enhance the simcha, enhance the joy at the event. Then we can go with the other things that we're doing. The Jewish community as a whole should try their best to be going to places that are exclusively kosher. When we run into a situation that we have an event for so many people that's not available for the community in such size, so we have to go to these hotels or other places that are not kosher. But we've hopefully given a glimpse of the many areas that are involved in preparing such an event when they go into a non-kosher place.